PXB. PXB. KQ4QHV. Good evening.
It's kind of very surprising to hear people on around 5:30. Most of the time when I'm riding home to Simpsonville from Lawrence Road, I do a call and there's no answer.
If I get off work usually around 5 o'clock and do a call and don't get anything then either.
At least I know it's not my radio then.
Today I'm on around 5 o'clock driving home, you know, so if I ever run into you, I'll definitely hit you up.
All right, I appreciate it. How's your day been?
You know, I typically work at home, so I've been having to work up at the shop a lot lately, and that's not really my cup of tea. So it's as good as it can be, you know. Glad to be home.
You had four service calls with IT today, so that kept me in the road pretty much a good bit of the day, and then I had like three remote calls that I could do. Use the remote software without having to travel out to that user's location.
People are like homeowners.
Cool.
Do you work for a company or are you like an independent contractor?
For a company called Plus Inc.
My brother is in IT. He works for a bank.
Company's on Lawrence Road. It's Plusinc. So they do a lot of Ricohs and Konica copiers. Like I said, I'm on the IT side of it, and so we pretty much do 365 accounts and pretty much anything dealing with computers that the customers have accounts with us.
Is it a good day for you when you get to run around a lot?
Yes, sir. That's definitely a good day where you get to run, get out, and see a little bit. Like I said, the day I set up a whiteboard at 10 o'clock, it was like about a 60-inch whiteboard. Set it up on Wi-Fi network and installed the software on it that we've had the device since February, and they finally wanted it delivered. So I took that out there and then went to two other sites, location, and then did some remote calls from the office area.
Station coming in, that last station, you're a little staticky there. Could you come in again?
Yes. Calling station that's just doing the test 1-2-3. Please identify with your FCC call sign, KO4PXB.
Actually, don't have one.
Since you don't have an FCC call sign, just be advised that it is a hefty fine by transmitting without a license. Go back to my original station's KO4PXB.
QHV. Sorry about that interruption there. So let's see. Yeah, now I've got everything I need to get done at the house, and I need to go out to the farm and plant all my Carolina Reapers. Can't believe I still haven't got those in the ground yet this year.
Reminds me, I'm going to go out and look at my tomato plants and bell peppers that I put in the ground. I've got three tomato plants in the ground, and I've got three different varieties of bell pepper that's in the ground, see how well they're doing. And I've got some tomato plants that you can actually put in a planter that you don't actually have to put in the ground. So I'm going to see which one are going to do better.
The planter, you do not have those in the ground. They're in the planter. Is that correct?
Correct. They are in a planter.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'd be definitely interested to hear how that turns out. Yeah, I've got 127 Carolina Reaper plants that need to get in the ground. I finally got the ground all prepped. I decided to expand the lot a little bit this year, so had to plow up some new land and get it flipped and plowed again. And now I've got it mounded and covered in plastic and irrigation down, so I just got to go punch some holes and drop some plants.
Is that for your for your use, or you'd sell them? Because that's a lot. That's a lot of acreage to put the plant, the peppers in.
Company called Firebird Hot Top Cove.
Where was it? Where is it located? And what was the name of it again?
Pendleton, South Carolina. And the name of the company is Firebird Hot Sauce Co.
If I'm ever in Pendleton, I'll definitely look for it. Y'all also have just the plain hot dogs that are or different spices, a variety of heat.
President, CEO, cook, recipe maker, gardener, farmer, all the above. And we're shooting to make several thousand bottles this year. Some of the recipes that I have prepped for, you know, large quantities are got a Carolina Reaper, obviously, recipe. It's really hard to describe it. Okay, so the name of it is F23, and then I've got the name of this other one is number 7, and that one's really hot. And then I've got a Caribbean one, a mango one. I've got one that's with like got a little more honey in it, so it's like a honey mango. But they all revolve around typically being on the really hot side. It's not like a joke hot, but they're pretty warm.
Yeah, if I was gonna try that, I'd probably do one drop for the whole hot dog because I don't like to, you know, burned up when I'm trying to eat my food.
Like a mango flavor. I also have a pineapple. I've got a black truffle one, too. The black truffle's wicked hot, but the pineapple one and the mango one, the sweetness of the fruits kind of balance out or put an off balance to the heat there. And while they're still made with Carolina Reapers, they're not quite as hot as some of the red sauces or the fermented sauces that I make.
Needs to come up with a sauce that's either Jack Daniels or tequila or different varieties of, you know, to spritz on a hot dog. That's strictly joking. I think it'd be funny even to even know if there was one already.
Oh, no, man, I love it. Even that is a joke. So one of the things I'm going to try and do this year is get a used rum barrel, you know, so there's a guy downtown that makes rum in Pendleton, and I talked to him about getting one of his old barrels, and then I could age the hot sauce in that barrel. I thought it'd be fantastic, but we'll see.
So I wasn't so far-fetched off.
I think there actually are some hot sauces that have some sort of alcohol in them. I know that during the cooking process, the alcohol comes out of the sauce, so the sauce at the end isn't alcoholic, but it still has that flavor from, you know, the whiskey or whatever it was that they used.
Yeah, because most of that alcohol, you're right, will cook out of it.
I'm definitely trying to get a hold of me. I usually have a case of something or other, some sort of hot sauce in the car. I usually just give them away to people, you know, because you really got to sell thousands of them to really kind of make a big profit in it. So it doesn't hurt me any to hand them out to my buddies.
Because probably about 2-3 weeks ago, I was in Pendleton doing a computer repair. So if I'd have known then, I'd have definitely looked you up.
Well, the hot sauce is from last year. So we're waiting on new peppers. I think there are 12 bottles to a case, and I've got 4 cases left of the 2023 special ferment that I did. And then once those are gone, we're gone. But I'm kind of not really advertising them and not really selling them at this point, just because I'm trying to hang on to them a little bit for orders and special case needs, things like that.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question, because I'm in a Masonic lodge, and I travel to a good bit of Masonic lodges. If you wanted me to put some on the tables, as long as you have a way for them to get a hold of you, if they wanted to order from you.
With a few bottles, we could donate to the Masonry, the Masonic lodges there, and you guys could just keep them in-house. I've got a website that's on the label for the bottle, and you can just go to the label, and once you get to that website, there's a contact form. You can just fill that out, and it comes straight to me.
Awesome. So That way, if you're also ever in the Greenville area, definitely let me know, and they said I can, you know, get them from there, and then we can go from there and try to help your business a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm definitely in the stage of not making much money with it, but let's see, last year I made around 500 bottles. This year I'm looking to make about 2,500 bottles, and then next year I'm looking to do about 5,000 bottles. And, you know, I think that that is a growth that I can kind of maintain, and I can get some equipment as it goes along. So hopefully this works out. We'll see. And anyway, maybe what I should do is next time I come up to Greenville, I'll let everybody know on the net, and I'll bring a case or two with me, and we'll just meet up somewhere, and I'll hand out hot sauce.
Yep, that'll work. If you're, like I said, if you're ever on Lawrence Road, just go to the 1326 Lawrence Road, and you'll see the Plus Inc. sign there on Lawrence Road. Just ask for Lloyd, and then I'll definitely help you out any way I can.
Oh, Lloyd, I'm glad I finally, you said your name, I remembered. We had talked before, because my dad, his middle name is Lloyd, and I think I mentioned that.
You have. Also, pretty much say a little thing that will definitely help you out when you're making up your sauces, keep your fingers out of your eyes.
Oh, buddy, you're funny. Oh, by the way, my name is Nick, in case you forgot, but, yeah, there's other places you need to keep your hands away from as well, not just your eyeballs.
Trying to keep it clean, never know who's listening on the net.
I had a mistake one time, and it took me a few minutes to realize what it was from, you know, and, you can imagine all the thoughts that went through my head.
Now, definitely like that with any hot pepper or anything like that, you definitely got to be careful where the things go.
Yeah, and I'll definitely have some surplus peppers this year. If anybody listening or yourself, Lloyd, would like to try Carolina Reaper, just let me know, and I'd be happy to give you a pot or two.
I have a Carolina Reaper challenge like that. It just, like, makes no sense. I have, you know, a lot more brain cells than that, because I don't think the Carolina Reapers or any peppers made to eat like that. I'm straight.
I recommend eating one raw. When people get them from me, I always tell them, you know, that these are really hot. You got to be super careful. Don't recommend eating them raw. Definitely want to cook with them some way, shape, or form. But I have seen people eat them raw. It's crazy. So I sold to the Joculot in Anderson last year, and there were a bunch of Hispanic people that would come around, and man, I saw some dudes, and I grew a bunch of different types of peppers last year, but I saw some guys eat peppers that I had just blow in my mind, man. I can't eat them either. You know, I eat them in the sauces, and I eat them when I cook the raw one. That's too much for me.
There's probably no more lining to their stomach. It just all burned away.
And watching that guy, so I grew some DTRs. It's a cross between a scorpion and a Carolina Reaper. It's called the Better Butch Tea. And I had a guy pop a whole one of those in his mouth after I pleaded not to do that, you know, and I thought it was a bad idea. He's like, man, I need to see if these are really hot. I'm like, trust me, they are really hot. And he's like, well, can I try one? And I'm like, you don't want to try one. He's like, well, can I try one? And I'm like, well, if you have to try one, then you can try one, but trust me, dude. I mean, he popped that thing in his mouth. I started chewing, and he looked over, and his buddy goes, is it hot? And he looked over at his buddy and just started nodding. Yep, didn't even open his mouth and talk, man, just started nodding. I could tell he was on fire.
Yeah, you can definitely tell it's hot when the tears start rolling in their eyes.
So, do you do anything other than IT for work, or? You got any other hobbies besides ham?
Woodworking, pretty much, you know, I like to do a lot of stuff. Like I said, I do a good bit of woodworking, and I go camping, and pretty much I like to play golf, but not any good at it, but I like to play it.
Scott, he lets me fly the birds out there on the golf course. It's a pretty good time.
Also, you know, I fly my drone pretty much around the areas in my backyard to kind of keep it low and within bounds.
What kind of drone do you have?
I have a DJI Spark.
Now, that one's waterproof. Is that correct?
Just like I said, I've got the earlier one that does It's got the forward collision, but it does not have the upper collision. So, but it'll definitely has worked out very well. Like I said, when you put it in sports mode, you got to be sure to let off on that throttle control, because it'll run, as they say on the paper, about 35 miles an hour. And if it's, you know, still going at some at that speed, it will hit it regardless if it has the accident avoidance.
So it'd be to take it out there to the Blue Ridge Radio Club, Amateur Radio Society. Their antenna, the 3,500 feet AGL, and fly the drone up there. That'd be so cool.
I can pretty much already tell you that you're going to lose control of it, because that much power, it'll interfere with that radio signal. Because when we were at one of the Ham Fest before, one of the guys had the drone out there, and he got it too close to that tower, and it immediately did a stage left and was just gone. It just started booking it, but he found it where it, you know, hit some trees and stuff.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't considered that. How much? Do you know how much power is going through the repeater there?
Not offhand, I don't.
Power that's in Seneca, I thought it'd be cool to fly a drone up to the top of, but after hearing that, I think maybe that's probably a bad idea.
Yes, sir. Definitely flying the drone anywhere close to high power, you're going to lose control, because it's going to pretty much override your signals of what you're trying to control.
Have you thought about trying to start a business with that?
The only thing that I fly under my neighbor's license, because you're allowed to do that, and we'll go out on the weekends, and because he gets contracted to do roof repair, or he gets contracted by insurance companies to see who needs roofing repaired. So we'll fly like a little lawnmower padding over their roof, and then the insurance company gives him the money for doing so.
Forgetting that you have to have a commercial license to charge money for that. Is it difficult to get?
I do believe so, because you have to have a good bit of insurance for that. Like I said, to be able to do it commercially and to fly, you know, over people, because you got to definitely have a good bit of insurance. Not offhand, but I would definitely say $1 million is probably a very low estimate.
That's what I have on the hot sauce company for lawsuits and things like that. When I was talking to my insurance company about it, or my insurer about it, he suggested that. So maybe he's got even more.
Yeah, with drone piloting like that, I would definitely have, you know, definitely starting at a minimum $1 million.
Insurance agent suggested too, because I tried to get a cheaper policy. I wanted to go for $500K, and he was like, "Man, you know, really, you want to start at about $1 million." And so I took his advice and went with it.
Unfortunately, this day and time frames become very sue happy, and it'll definitely wipe you out in a hurry if you're not careful.
But, you know, I try to think that it's one of those things where a few bad apples ruin the bunch, you know. I know a lot of people that don't know really anybody that's ever sued someone personally like that. So it makes me feel like it's still kind of a small minority, but we do hear about it all the time. And so it is always good to make sure that you have your bases covered with that respect, because, you know, when you're dealing with the public, you're going to run into all types.
Yep, you'll definitely run into the type of people that when they try to sue somebody, they make it where they don't have to work another day in their life. And just there's a special place in this world for people like that.
Yeah, the lawsuits.
Yeah, like I said.
It's like one of those things that can't live with it, but you can't live without them either, you know? So, I don't know.
I'm going to try to tow my camper out to Lake Hartwell this weekend and camp out a little bit to It all depends on my, if my wife wants to get out there. Lisa does have a good AC system. Won't need the heat right now, like I said, but it definitely has got a good AC system, and it's 34 feet long, so it's, you're not stepping over each other, and you got, you know, one section that lets out that way with the couch and stuff on it, so you definitely got plenty of room. I started out in a little...
kicking around the idea of getting a camper, like some sort of tow behind as well, or maybe even an RV. What most likely to be a tow behind, though?
Yeah, just definitely make sure that your truck can do a tow behind. If you're going to be able to take it up hills, make sure it'll definitely pull that, because if not, it'll tell on that engine in a hurry.
Okay, I've got a V8 Tundra with a tow package.
Yeah, I'm not sure if your vehicle has the options to where it will drop it down into like a four-cylinder mode, but when I was starting to tow my vehicle, the guy from the Chevrolet dealership told me about a module that you actually plug into the little testing unit in the center of the, right below the steering wheel, and it keeps it in V8 mode instead of them dropping it down to a 4, because he mentioned that's the worst thing on the engine, especially if you're towing, because it does not allow full oil pressure to get to the other ones.
Advice, I have a friend that has a Dodge, and his Dodge does that. It drops cylinders out to conserve fuel. My Tundra does not do that. It is very happy to drink all of the money in my wallet.
Yeah, because he also mentioned that when it does that, he mentioned the other cylinders aren't really lubricated, because it'll pretty much just reduce that pressure on them too, and it has been known to cause, you know, good bit of tear on the engine on those cylinders.
What these engineers are doing to try and conserve fuel in the vehicle may not be really the best thing for a mechanical operation, you know. I mean, I've seen a lot of the things like starting and stopping your vehicle every time you come to a stop. I mean, that seems like a lot of wear on a starter, you know.
Me too. Like I said, and it just seems odd when the vehicle's shut down like that, and they're going, when you stop somewhere, the newer cars today, I'm going, it just seems odd to me.
I would want from one of my vehicles, that's absolutely certain.
Yeah, quite a few years ago, I was looking when I had a Nissan Rogue, and a tree limb fell on it and destroyed it, so I had to get another one through the insurance company. And I was driving these old electric cars, and I immediately turned around and went back in the dealership. I'm going, nope, this just scares me when I'm pushing the accelerator, and it just kind of doesn't seem like it wants to go.
Exactly sure where I sit on the electric vehicle line. I really like the idea of it. I think that they're very novel to drive. I don't know that the science supports the idea that it's more environmentally friendly, and I'm not entirely sure how I feel about a bulk of the value of the vehicle being in the batteries.
Yep, that is definitely true, because they mentioned within, 5 to 10 years, or maybe somewhere in 5 to 10 year time frame, you had to pretty much spend the same cost of buying a new vehicle on replacing the batteries.
Possibly be environmentally friendly?
Good question, sir. It's KO4PXB for ID.
QHV for ID. Yeah, I guess with all the regulation, I'm just glad that I haven't been regulated into doing things I don't really want to.
Yeah, because even a regular gasoline automobile is expensive this day and time frame. And so having people go all electric is just outrageous, too.
And I probably am, but I recently learned that California no longer allows the sale of small engines. And so I believe, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that they have some sort of program where professional landscapers can take advantage of some tax rebate to convert their equipment over to battery.
I have not heard that one, so I definitely don't want to give you bad information.
Battery weed eater and a battery blower, and I will say I do enjoy using them. They're pretty easy to use. You know, you just grab it, pop the battery in, and go to work. And they're pretty quiet, which I also appreciate.
Yeah, it also prevents hitting the your extension cord with it and having to buy a new one of those or splice it together.
It's time for me, so I think I'm going to go gather the wife and see what we're doing for dinner. We'll talk again tomorrow. Sounds good talking to you, Lloyd. KQ4, QHV. I'll be clear and final after Lloyd clears out.
Sir, you and your wife have a great evening. It's KO4PXB.